This is the Feminem Podcast, the official podcast of Feminem, discussing all things femme, a little bit of EM, and everything in between. I'm Jenny Beck-Esme, editor-in-chief of Feminem. I am super excited to bring you the next of our Fix 18 talks. This is from Dr. Kathleen Myers. Now, the fun thing about Dr. Myers is that she comes from a Feminem family. You are going to remember a talk from her sister, Kelly O'Loughlin, from last year's Fix 17, and stay tuned for a future Fix 18 podcast from her cousin, Elise Portillo. They have a strong Feminem sense in their blood in that family. So Dr. Myers is an emergency medicine physician, and she's an entrepreneur. She trained at UCLA before heading back up to the Pacific Northwest, where she practices now. She is going to share with you the secret sauce of startups. I hope you enjoy.
So have you guys ever laid awake at night with a business idea that you think would be brilliant if you could just make it happen? What is it that stops you from trying? If you're like me, and I think most of you are, it's not knowing how to start. Medicine has a very clear path. There's required science courses in college, volunteering, research, MCAT prep and testing, and boom, you're a med student. Business is something most of us never studied. And because we tend to identify with our degrees, it makes sense to think that an MBA or a finance degree is required before you can venture into this business world. But luckily for us, nothing can be further from the truth. Business has only a few essential requirements. The rest of them you can hire on as you go or learn on the job. But what you do need is to be passionate, driven, and a hard worker who works even harder when facing challenges. That sounds like everyday life for us, right? In 2005, I was hired to open up the emergency department in a new paperless hospital in the Pacific Northwest. It was pretty state-of-the-art for 2005, but unfortunately, efficiency wasn't the focus. The nurses in the labs were on the EMR Cerner. The ED docs were on a different EMR, electronic T system. EKGs were on the Muse system. PACS was the imaging system, and none of these systems connected. So I was afraid I was going to spend all of my time typing and logging into different systems and have no efficiency. And about this same time, I'd heard about an ED doctor in Texas who was about to be fired for his illegible handwriting. Hard to believe for a doctor. But he came up with the idea of hiring students to follow him around and handwrite his notes for him in real time. And I thought, well, that's a great solution. So I hired some local pre-med students and taught them to chart for me using a computer on wheels. And a handful of my colleagues were interested in working with the students, and a small scribe program was born. The program gradually spread throughout my large ED group, and then, as others started to go electronic, they too were feeling the pain of being data entry technicians. And so I started to get phone calls from around the country, and I realized they need help as well. This could be a business. So, needing some more information, I did some research, and then, as we typically do in the ED, I called a consultant. It actually wasn't one phone call, but lots of phone calls and meetings over several months before I found the right business partner, and then I was ready to go. And he warned me, he said, with the launching of any startup, there'll be several near-death experiences. And I laughed. I said, that's okay, we deal with that every day. So these were busy, exciting, and sometimes kind of stressful years, working full-time to grow my business and working part-time in the emergency department with a busy surgeon husband at home and three boys in middle school to high school years. And it was sometimes financially stressful. I don't know if you know this, but until you're 2 years old, no bank will talk to you or give you a line of credit or a business loan. And as my business began to grow rapidly, I ran into cash flow problems. And on a couple occasions, I had to make a pretty large payroll before I had payment from the client. And when you're a startup, you can only afford a part-time bookkeeper, so she would tell me usually late in the afternoon when payroll was coming out the next morning. So a couple times I had to call my husband and say, don't look at the college savings account very closely, because it's drained. But it will be back to normal next week when we get payment from the client. Thankfully, my boys did go to college. I was able to grow the business to a large national organization, and I would never dream that I would know all the things I do today. I've traveled to every small and every large corner of the US and worked with hundreds and hundreds of people. I've continued my involvement on the business and IT side of medicine, working for a telehealth startup in Southern Cal before joining a Scribe program in Berkeley that uses machine learning and artificial intelligence. Thankfully, one of the skills that we've honed in medicine is how to stall and think on our feet as we're thinking of something intelligent to say, such as during rounds in med school. And I've used this skill many times presenting to venture capitalist firms trying to raise funds for my large and growing business. During these teleconferences, I would have two computer screens open, one that ran my presentation, and one to be able to quickly Google unfamiliar financial acronyms. On one occasion, they asked me about my ROS, and as I'm quickly looking up the term, I stalled, and they said, well, in the emergency department, I would assume that you're asking me about my review of systems, but I don't think you really care about my organ systems, but you're referring to the return on sales. Thank goodness for Google and fast internet, it saved me a lot. I've learned through my various business experiences that a lot of success in business is based on good timing, and now is a really good time to be a woman in business. A recent report just came out from Boston Consulting Group, and it showed that for every dollar of funding, women-founded businesses generated 78 cents on the dollar. And this is in contrast to male-founded businesses that generated less than half this amount at 31 cents on the dollar. You should see this on the slide, but it's not showing up. It'll come up eventually. So significantly higher revenue in the women-founded businesses. And this is despite the fact that businesses founded by women received significantly less funding for startups. And on average, they received over $1 million less in funding. So why do women-founded businesses do better? There's a quote from the journal article Quartz at Work that summarizes this well. And this quote says, while constant sexism is a drag, underestimation builds both resilience and adaptation. And that makes all the difference. Women are also being brought into the boardroom. And this is because research has shown that companies with the most gender diversity outperform other companies. And there's several reasons why this is the case. Women tend to create a collaborative and positive work environment that gives coworkers the confidence to express varied viewpoints. We also create an inclusive culture that increases opportunity and morale, and this leads to decreased turnover. And high turnover, if you run a business, is very costly and disruptive to an organization. And we represent the customer base. Women do 85% of all household purchasing. Probably 90% this week, Kelly, after your shopping. But having a woman on the workforce helps them to capitalize on this. And if you're sitting there thinking, yeah, but I'm too old to start something new, well, you need to think again. It used to be believed that careers were pretty much over by the time you reached 50, but those rules are now rapidly changing. Many women are finding as they age that they have increased flexibility at work, and as kids leave the house, there's a lot more free time. And so many women are thinking this is a really good time to explore new career opportunities. Innovative companies are realizing the potential that these highly educated women offer, and they're tapping into this great resource. So, how do you get there? Here are the 7 steps that I think are key to launching your business. Come on, it's not coming. Number one, find a business mentor. Find a friend, a colleague, a friend of a friend who can listen to your plans and give you advice. Be careful about this. Great ideas are easily stolen, but having someone to mentor for you and network and introduce you to funding and legal resources can be really valuable, like a great attending and residency. Second, start small. Make small batches of your product in your kitchen, or try out your service on a handful of clients, fine-tune your offering until you have a product that you're satisfied with. Number 3, keep moving forward. It takes a lot of work to launch a business, but the key is to be persistent. You need to be resilient in business like you have been in medicine and really push hard for things that you believe in. Number four, this is really important for females, I think. Don't let the fear of failure hold you back. It's okay to try and fail. Advice from shoe entrepreneur Steve Madden: if you're not making mistakes, you're not reaching. And if you only follow safety, you're doomed. Number five, step outside of your comfort zone every day. When you do different things in life, it's stimulating. We all love to learn. That's why we went into medicine. And learning new skills in business is stimulating all by itself. Number six, watch for that moment of opportunity. With any business, there's the element of good timing and luck. But having the intelligence to realize when that window of opportunity opens up for you and to jump through that window is key. And finally, number seven, bring on people who know what you don't know. Build your whole team this way. This is the key to expansion and to long-term success. To an outsider, the business world can seem like a big challenge because it's unfamiliar. But we all know how to work hard. We're smart, intelligent people, and we can work through anything. How else do you succeed in emergency medicine? You make your own success in the business world this exact same way: by launching a business you're passionate about, working hard, and never giving up. And when your business starts to gain momentum and take off, it's an incredible rush, perfect for all of us adrenaline junkies. I can't wait to see what you all will do. Thank you.